How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. If you actually open up Genesis chapter 6, and it runs all the way through chapter 9, it's a very long story by Bible story standards, story of Noah and the great flood, you will discover that contrary to the way that it's often presented, when you were a kid in Sunday school, or in a typical kind of Bible story format, this is very detailed. This appears to be a very well-preserved account. We have the number of days that things occurred. We have a very detailed account of the ark and of the flood itself and of the animals and all that God gave Noah to do. Most importantly, what it was Noah believed, because of course, we're told in the book of Hebrews that Noah did all these things by faith. And that faith is more than just simply knowing that God would get him through. It's Monday afternoon, September the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to talk about Noah and the Flood. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hello, Pastor. How are you today?
Very well. This is one of those Bible stories that either gets simplified down to kind of the plush toy variety, or it is seriously doubted in our scientific way of thinking today. Why is it important that we know the real story of Noah and the Great Flood?
That's a great question, and it gets to why we teach it in Sunday school, because it is a real story, real people involved, a real flood destroyed the earth, leaving only 8 people left alive on the earth, destroyed every living creature that walked on the earth. We have to teach this because this is one of the key events in God's plan and carrying out of his plan of salvation, promised in the garden when man fell into sin, and culminating, of course, in Christ, who died on the cross and rose again in payment for that sin. That this is one of the top 10 Bible stories, I guess, that every child should learn, and because it teaches so much about who God is for us, how he feels about our sin, what he thinks about it, how he has to deal with sin, and what that means in terms of our salvation, and it deals with faith and the faith of Noah and how God viewed that, and there's just so many things here, but very important that we stress to the children, this isn't just a nice story, it's not just a way to help you understand God, this really happened just as it says here, these are the facts, these are the details. No matter what your teacher at school may say, no matter what you might see on the History or Science channel that would contradict that. And it is a much more, I guess you could say, gruesome or horrifying story than our little nursery decorations that often appear in our children's rooms with the cute animals and the boat and the happy Noah. This is serious business, God dealing with the sin of a corrupt creation and his grieving over that and his dealing with that in love, ultimately, for you and me.
Someone, and this is usually the response that people have when they read the account as it appears in Genesis, in all of its kind of meticulous details, one of the most detailed stories in the Old Testament. It's simply cruel of God to do this. If what it says is true, that God extinguished every living creature that drew breath, save those on the ark with Noah and his family, that's just abominably cruel.
It sounds really cruel, but it really is an act of salvation, and it's an act of love, because what was happening here at the time before the flood was that all of mankind, except for Noah and his family, had turned away from God, had turned towards sin, fully embracing it, fully living in it, unrepentant, not looking to God in faith, not trusting him, each one doing as he pleases. And violence, the text tells us that violence was across the earth, and people were killing people. It was a really total corruption. And in order for God to save any of his creation, he had to take these eight believing ones, sinners, yes, but the only ones left on earth who believed in God and believed in the promise that he made that their sins would be atoned for by a Savior. He had to protect them, and in doing so, protect us from all of the evil and corruption that was on the earth then. He had to destroy that. God is God. And this is another thing we have to talk about with our children, because we live in a time when God is my buddy, God is a cuddly old man, God is anything but righteous and just. And here we see a righteous and just God who cannot tolerate sin, who cannot tolerate wickedness and evil, and who has to destroy it. And he does, and he's angry and he's sad, but he destroys it so that life can come, so that Adam and his family and generations after can be fully saved. Those who died that day were those who were lost to God and were not going to be redeemed, couldn't be redeemed by their own choice.
I think this highlights something that there is, in terms of salvation. I want you to talk about it, if you would, Pam. And that is, salvation is always coupled with judgment. If there is no sin from which to be saved, if there is no consequence of sin from which we are saved, then salvation is really nothing at all. It's really nonsense. Talk about that, not only in terms of what the flood was, but what it foreshadowed in terms of Christ's salvation on the cross.
Well, that, you know, that's really true. If there's no sin, what's the point of salvation? We don't need it. We don't need a Savior. And this is exactly what's going on here. Noah and his family, they needed salvation because of their own sin. The world needs saving. And Noah and his family, in faith, looking to God, needed to be protected from evil. And this, at this point in the history of man, this is how God takes care of that. Things had gone so far. He destroys everything that has breath, the breath of life, the text says, and preserves Noah. And this is a foreshadow of an even greater destruction, an even greater wrath against sin, if you will, when God takes his very own son, his one and only son, and has him nailed to the cross, taking on the sin of the whole world, suffering, dying, forsaking his own son on the cross, doing that for us so that we can live. How great is his love that he did what he did in the days of Noah, and even greater we see his love in what he does through his son on the cross. All of it is for us and for our good. And it's a beautiful story. And they connect the flood and the cross. And there's something else they connect to, too, isn't there?
Well, and I want to come back to that in a minute, because
yeah.
I think you're talking here about the explicit connection that is that's made in one of Peter's epistles to baptism. Before we get to that, and with a few minutes before we take our break, one misconception that many have, and it's understandable that one might think this way, about why Noah is saved as opposed to everyone else on the face of the earth save his family. It says Noah found favor with God. Why did God show Noah favor? Was it because he was especially obedient?
No. Noah found favor with God because Noah trusted God. Noah had the faith that God had given him, and he lived in that faith. He looked to God. He knew his sin. He knew his need for a Savior, and he trusted in the promise. And that's that same gift of faith that has been given to us, to every believer, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through the sacraments. It wasn't that Noah was especially good, although he was known to worship God and walk with God. People understood that about him. He must have stuck out because he and his family, the only believing ones, they must have looked quite odd or acted quite differently than all of the evil going on around them. But still, they fell into evil like you and I do. They sinned. They gave in to temptation. The difference is they had the gift of faith. They had the eyes of faith, and they looked to God for their salvation, knowing that they were hopelessly lost in every way, the same condition as those who were drowned that day, save for the promise of God to send a Savior to redeem and save them from their sin.
That, of course, is the remarkable thing here, folks, that Noah deserved exactly the same punishment and exactly the same judgment that God meted out upon the entire world when he sent the great flood. Noah was saved not because of who he was, but because of who God was and remains. And it is the same God that sent this flood that sent his son, Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break and how this flood prefigures a different flood, smaller, apparently less significant, but really not less significant at all. We'll be right back.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, September the 27th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Pam, you alluded to a connection here that is made in Scripture. Later, the 16th century reformer Martin Luther will make the connection kind of in a liturgical sense when he fashions what is usually called his flood prayer to go with, of all things, baptism. What is the connection you were talking about?
Well, I was talking about the little epistle, First Peter, in the third chapter. It's very, very clear. It's beginning with verse 18. It talks about Christ also suffering once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death. And then it goes on into verse 20 and talks about when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, he goes on, which corresponds to this, this being the flood, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with the angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. So here, you know, this is not something that Luther or your pastor or any human on earth cooked up as a connection. This is straight up God, through his word, connecting something that is a sacrament, something that was commanded by God, holy baptism, connecting that to this great flood, and comparing really the two as to what happened in them, that sin was destroyed. The first flood, huge, all living creatures, all humanity except for Noah and his family. In holy baptism, when it is applied to each one of us, our sin is destroyed and we are saved, just as Noah and his family were. We are saved from our sin. We are given the gift of life, forgiveness, salvation, become part of God's family. Beautiful connection here. And both a drowning. Sin is drowned in baptism. Sinful mankind is drowned in the flood. And both acts of God in mercy and grace for his creation that he loved, and to bring those who have faith to live forever in heaven with him.
You mentioned this before, that was God has a promise to keep that he has made all the way back to Adam and Eve, that this promise is still in force, that he's going to bring a Messiah into the world. Does this also help us understand why God saves anyone whatsoever, that it is eventually through Noah that he would keep the promise of his own son coming into the world?
Well, that's right, because he made that promise to Eve, and we just talked about that a couple weeks ago, and how even last week in the Cain and Abel story, she thought, oh, one of her sons was, you know, that Savior that God promised that would come from her. It is going to be a human Savior, and all that's left here after this flood is Noah and his family. And so, yes, this is another knot or thread in this whole thread of salvation that we talk about so often from the beginning, through all these acts of salvation that God does in the Old Testament and the New, little and big, miracles, all of them precursors, types of pointing to the complete salvation that could only be done by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And that, in fact, if we think this flood story is horrifying, and we can't really gut thinking about what really happened there, actually, the more horrifying thing is that God put his own Son on the cross and let him take on the sins of the world, suffer and die, so that we didn't have to. That is incredible love, and it's quite shocking because none of us deserves that love. None of us deserves to be saved. Noah didn't deserve to be saved. So these things all go together, and it's why we got to talk about this Bible story in a real way and not be afraid to talk about what really went on here and why it happened and why it matters for us today. Sad that those people died, but they died without faith. They weren't going to believe. God knew this. God knows all. And he had to save the few that had faith because he wanted to save his creation. And he wanted to bring salvation ultimately in his plan that he does through his son, Christ. So this miracle, this event leads to another and another all through the history of salvation.
The Bible also tells us that, I think it is perhaps in the book of Hebrews, or elsewhere, that during the time, and it's about 100 years from the time Noah receives the promise to the time that God actually sends the flood, that Noah is not only building the ark, he is preaching repentance.
That's exactly right. And there's this story sequence, and this is something I just did a Sunday school workshop up in Sheboygan this weekend and was talking to the teachers there about digging into these Bible stories because, you know, when you teach something like the flood on one Sunday in 45 minutes, you lose something about the amount of time that actually transpired here from the time that God said he was going to do this through all the time that Noah was preaching repentance and busy building the ark to the specifications God set. And this is a massive boat. Even today, with all technology, it takes a year or more to build a big boat, maybe several years. So there's this sense of time, and to that, what you said about Noah preaching repentance, and the people the text talks about, you know, laughing at, scoffing at, not believing in any way that a flood could come and destroy them, totally denying God, totally turning away from what was being preached to them, very deliberately and very willfully, so entrenched and taken by their own sin. There was no hope for them, but they had every opportunity, and even you know, right up until everybody that God put on the boat, and then he seals the door. And it was interesting, the notes in the study Bible talking about how God did that to protect Noah and his family, and how he protects us from evil. All that was on the outside was evil once they were in that boat, and now they were safe in that boat. And there's another connection, because we have talked about throughout the Christian church's history the comparison of the boat, the ark, to the church, and how God seals us with holy baptism, seals us and makes us his own, bringing us into the church, bringing us into the boat of salvation, the ark. And in fact, you can look at churches through the centuries that have been built to look like an upside down boat. What do we call the front, the part of the church, the nave? That's a sailing term, a boat term. So Christians for centuries have understood these connections because God gave them to us, and they've built upon these connections. So when we're sealed with the waters of holy baptism, our sin is drowned, we're brought into the church, and we are kept safe, saved and kept safe for eternal life with Christ in heaven. Salvation is ours.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. It is a genuinely Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday School curriculum. That means that the message of Christ and his salvation for us sinners runs through every single lesson. It's not shoehorned into the lessons. It is drawn out of each and every one of these lessons. Find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Folks, this Friday we're going to announce the winner of two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House. So there's still time for you to enter our Facebook contest. All you need to do is invite your Facebook friends to become fans of Issues, etc. Send them an email or a message and invite as many as you can. Then send us the invitation you sent them with the number of friends that you invited. And that email address to send that to is contest@issuesetc.org, contest@issuesetc.org. Send us a copy of your invitation to your friends and how many friends you invited. Then we will pick the winners on October 1st of two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House. contest@issuesetc.org. In the second hour of the program, we'll start out with some audio open lines. We'll get your reaction to a CNN interview with Bishop Carlton Pearson on the inclusion of gays. He says he's a universalist. Everybody goes to heaven. Nobody goes to hell. And he says, we've been sending homosexuals to hell for too long. We need to dispense with that and include them in salvation, along with everyone else. Then Congressman John Chimkus will join us. We'll talk about the Republican pledge to America and the fate of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.